الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, in our continuation of the translation of the tafsir of Sheikh عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمة الله عليه, we had been discussing Surah Al Imran, in particular Ayah 169, which we concluded, and now we'll begin with Ayah 170. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Let me read it right from the source. فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله ويستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم ألا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون يستبشرون بنعمة من الله وفضل وأن الله لا يضيع أجر المؤمنين. This is still discussing the status of the martyrs. They rejoice in what Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty, and rejoice for the sake of those who have not yet joined them, but are left behind, meaning they're not yet martyred, that on them no fear shall come, nor shall they grieve. They rejoice in a grace and a bounty from Allah, and that Allah will not waste the reward of the believers. The Shaykh says in commenting on his ayat, or these ayat, وَمَعْ هَذَا فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ أَيْ مُغْتَبِطِينَ بِذَلِكَ وَقَدْ قَرَّتْ بِهِ عُيُونُهُمْ وَفَرِحَتْ بِهِ نُفُوسُهُمْ. Meaning they will be happy, they'll be rejoicing, rejoicing that which Allah has bestowed upon them. The Shaykh said مُغْتَبِطِين, meaning happy. Their eyes, they have found the pleasure of their eyes. It has become the pleasure of their eyes and the happiness of their souls. وَذَلِكَ لِحُسْنِهِ وَكَثْرَتِهِ وَعَظَمَتِهِ وَكَمَالِ اللَّذَّةِ فِي الْمَوْصُولِ إِلَيْهِ وَعَدَمَ الْمُنْغِسِ. Why are they so happy? Because of the excellence of that which they have acquired, and its abundance, and its greatness, and the supreme pleasure therein. All that while nothing is there to ruin it. And this is very important. The idea of ultimate pleasure that is free from worry, free from concern, from anxiety, it can never be accomplished or established in the dunya. And I will give you a classical example. You build, after many years of working hard, all your life you were saving, so you can finally buy a house. And you buy this wonderful place, you buy a land in this, you know, in the suburbs, somewhere far away from the traffic and from the, you know, the city and the pollution of the city. Nice place, mountain area kind of thing, you know, beautiful land, greenery, what have you. You build a house and all this good stuff, and finally this is your dream come true. How long does that last before you have to start worrying about robberies, and before you have to start worrying about paying taxes, and if sometimes, you know, the place gets starts to wear out, you need to renovate, right? The wall starts falling apart, the bathroom goes kharban. Right, I mean, the problems, the complete satisfaction is never there. You will continue to worry about this place, and you will continue to strive to maintain it. The time when you actually sit down on the seat and say, oh, alhamdulillah, is not a long time before you get a phone call that will ruin all of the happiness which you had strove to acquire, really. Yeah, and after you build the house, somebody calls and says, your son was just involved in a car accident. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You don't even want the house anymore. You see what I'm saying? So now here, we're describing the happiness of these individuals. They're so happy in Jannah, the shuhada, the martyrs, that there's nothing which may affect or from defect, mashallah. فجمع الله لهم بين نعيم البدن بالرزق ونعيم القلب والروح بالفرح بما آتاهم من فضله. So Allah combined for them the bounty and delight of the physical body through the sustenance which Allah Azza wa Jal gave them, and also the bounty and delight of the heart and the soul with happiness due to what Allah Azza wa Jal has given them of His bounty. فتم له النعيم والسرور. So then na'im, bounty and delight and happiness became in a state of perfection. Perfect happiness, perfect satisfaction. وجعلوا يستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم. Then now they start to rejoice and they are looking forward to those who have not died in the state of martyrdom yet. Salam. Those who have not died in the state of martyrdom yet. Now they're looking forward to their arrival. أَيُبَشِّرُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا بِوُصُولِ إِخْوَانِهِمْ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ سَيَنَالُونَ مَا نَالُوا. So then they congratulate one another concerning their brothers who have not yet caught up with them, and that they shall also receive a reward equal to that which they have received. أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That they should not grieve, they should not fear, nor shall they grieve. أَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِزَوَالِ الْمَحْذُورِ عَنِهِمْ وَعَنْ إِخْوَانِهِمْ الْمُسْتَلْزِمْ جَمَالِ السُّرُورِ. So they themselves then are looking forward to the pleasure which their brothers will also enjoy upon catching up with them. These are those who died for the sake of Allah, and they're now discussing those who have not yet followed them, trying to incite and encourage those who are left behind to get involved and to try to die in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we discussed the virtues of that, and we said before, and it's perhaps adequate that I remind again, when we say or speak about dying for the sake of Allah, we do not mean that you get on an airplane with passengers and you go crash it into a building, or you go crash it into a supermarket, or even a country, a contending country that is fighting Islam. That's not really dying for the sake of Allah. That's more like criminal act, to kill innocent civilians, or non-combatants, if we may call them, let's be more technical Islamically. So we're speaking about Muslims fighting against non-Muslims on the battlefield, where there's a mutual intent for both armies to kill one another. Nobody's there trying to, you know, give you a card, you know, that says I love you on it, and some flowers. They're there to kill you, and you're there for the sake of Allah. Not really to kill them, you're there for the sake of Allah, for the deen of Allah to be supreme. If they surrender, we have nothing to do with them. But if they want to stop the spread of Islam, then they have to deal with the consequences. That is martyrdom. That is the shaheed. Not what happens today in the name of Islam among some terrorists who are Muslims, who may commit criminal acts, blowing up masajid, blowing up places, you know, whether among Muslims or non-Muslims, all this is not allowed in Islam. Don't get confused. Don't propagate and support terrorism, and don't deny jihad on the other hand, trying to please the non-Muslims. And we have to say the truth no matter what. And we explain this to our relatives, that some of these things you see on TV done in the name of Islam is not part of Islam. That's what it boils down to. طيب. يستبشرون بنعمة من الله وفضل. أي يهنئ بعضهم بعضا بأعظم مهنأ به وهو نعمة ربهم وفضله وإحسانه. So then they congratulate one another concerning the greatest bounty which one may attain, and that is the bounty of Allah, His generosity and His goodness subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بَلْ يُنَمِّيهِ وَيَشْكُرُهُ وَيَزِيدُهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ مَا لَا يَصِلُ لَيْهِ سَعْيُهُمْ. Rather, Allah will not waste the effort and the reward of the believers. On the other hand, or in contrast, Allah will nurture it, and Allah will be thankful, and Allah will increase it from His bounty, that which one's effort can cannot really attain. Yani Allah Azza wa Jalla will multiply the reward of a person for a small deed that one does, even though that deed itself is not worth that much reward. Allah Azza wa Jalla will increase it and multiply it out of His bounty. The Shaykh said, وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ إِثْبَاتُ نَعِيمُ الْبَرْزَخِ وَأَنَّ الشُّهَدَاءَ فِي أَعْلَى مَكَانِ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ فِي أَعْلَى مَكَانٍ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَفِيهِ تَلَاقِي أَرْوَاحُ أَهْلُ الْخَيْرِ أو وَفِيهِ تَلَاقِي أَرْوَاحُ أَهْلِ الْخَيْرِ وَزِيَارَةُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا وَتَبْشِيرُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. In these ayat, we learn that we affirm the bounty or the bounty or the delight of the interval. Barzakh, and if you were coming to the Saturday class between Maghrib and Isha in Hayy al-Mushrifa, where we deal with the Aqeedah al-Wasitiyya, the names and attributes of Allah in particular, and we're elaborating on the belief in the last day now, you would have a more of an extensive study on this subject matter, the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the life in between. We have three lives primarily, four, but the ones that we can relate to is the life in this dunya. There's of course the life of non-existence, the one that was before Allah created everything. Then there's the life which we are living right now. Then there's the life in between, after you die, before the day of resurrection. Then there's the life after resurrection, which is the life to come. These are the four stages primarily. Now, this one is which one? The third one. Yani after you die, alaykum salam, you're not considered alive. Alaykum salam, you're not considered alive, and you're not necessarily dead. You're living a life in between. It's a life, but not like this life. We believe in this life, that a person will either be in his grave will either be a pit from the pits of the hellfire, wherein this person will be punished and tortured and so on and so forth, or this pit or this grave can be a garden from the gardens of Jannah, where he will be chilling, relaxing, smelling the fragrance of Jannah, seeing his place in Jannah, you know, and his grave will be expanded for him. This is all among the things we believe in from the unseen. This is part of the unseen. And the main characteristic of the believers is what? Who knows the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. Time out. That's it. The first quality after being متقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب, those who believe in the unseen. That's it. If you are really a believer, you have to believe in the unseen. If you are among these intellectuals, or so the so-called intellectuals, really they're non-intellectuals, that they only believe in that which they see, then you're nothing special. You're nothing special. If you saw the angels, if an angel came and sat with us in the class, now we know angels come to the circles of knowledge. They come to the places where the Book of Allah is being studied. And we believe angels, inshallah, are, you know, encompassing this particular gathering all the way to the sky. And we have narrations concerning that. But if we saw the angels, and then after we saw the angels, I'd ask you, brother, do you believe in angels? The only possible answer is, of course, man, I just saw one. Hey, but that's not nothing special. But when you don't see angels, and I ask you, you believe in angels, and you say, yes. So sure, 100%. Akhi, you've never seen one, I know. But Allah told us they are angels, khalas, I believe. Now that is Iman. That is Iman. Otherwise, human beings will never really, if they saw everything, there's no point in believing anymore. See what I'm saying? So then we believe in the life to come in that interval, al-barzakh. And that the shuhada, we further believe, these ayat further affirm that the shuhada will be in the highest degrees with Allah. The martyrs will be in the highest status with Allah. Yani they are superior to the other and the rest of the believers, the shuhada. Furthermore, we believe that souls meet. We believe that souls of the good people meet in the life to come. Because Allah is telling us that those who died for the sake of Allah, they're speaking to each other about those who have not caught up with them yet. And they're saying that, you know, they're enjoying Allah's blessings and they're looking forward to their brothers who have not yet died for the sake of Allah to catch up with them. And Allah is narrating this conversation that happened among these righteous believers to the Muslims who are still alive. So this would be means of encouraging them to follow them and catch up with them. So the souls are speaking to one another. وَزِيَارَةُ بَعْضٍ بَعْضًا عَيْكُمْ سَلَامٍ And their visitations to one another. That they will meet and they will visit each other. وَتَبْشِيرُ بَعْضٌ بَعْضًا And the glad tidings they give to one another. Alhamdulillah. This is what we believe. Now, Ayah 172. الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل يا مصطفى 172-173 please.
Those who answered the call of Allah and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after being wounded, for those of them who did good deeds and feared Allah, there is a great reward. Those who, to whom the people, the hypocrites said, verily the people, pagans, have gathered against you, therefore fear them, but it only increased them in faith, and they said, Allah alone is sufficient for us. And He is the best disposer of affairs.
Barakallah fiqh. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله لما رجع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحد إلى المدينة وسمع أن أبا سفيان ومن معه من المشركين قد هموا بالرجوع إلى المدينة ندب أصحابه إلى الخروج. Now after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had returned with this to Medina from Uhud. After the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم returned from Uhud to Medina, and he heard that Abu Sufyan, who later became a believer, he later embraced Islam. This was at the time when he was a non-Muslim. That Abu Sufyan and the Mushrikeen were on the verge of returning to Medina for round two. Yani the battle was done, and the news came that Abu Sufyan intends on returning back to Medina to continue the war. The Prophet ﷺ called out his Sahaba. He called them and he encouraged them. He invited them to go out for the sake of Allah. For the rebuttal. فَقَرَجُوا عَلَى مَا بِهِمْ مِنَ الْجِرَاحِ إِسْتِجَابَةً لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَطَاعَةً لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ So they went out. They went out even though they were wounded. They went out even though they were wounded. As means of responding, they wanted to respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger, and obedience to Allah and His Messenger. فَوَصَلُوا إِلَى حَمْرَاءِ الْأَسَدِ So they made it to an area called حَمْرَاءُ الْأَسَدِ وَجَاءَهُمْ مَنْ جَاءَهُمْ And those who came to them, some came to them and said, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ The people have gathered against you. The people have come together against you. وَأَمُّوا بِاسْتِئْصَالِكُمْ تَخْوِيفًا لَهُمْ وَتَرْهِيبًا فَلَمْ يَزِدُهُمْ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا بِاللَّهِ وَاتِّكَالًا عَلَيْهِ So the people came, now these are the munafiqeen and their likes. They came and said, listen man, everybody's against you. The people came together trying to destroy you, trying to eradicate you. And they tried to instill fear in the hearts of the believers who decided to continue with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to go for round two. However, that did not fulfill their objectives. On the contrary, this only increased them in Iman. This only increased them in Iman and reliance upon Allah. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهِ أَيْ كَافِينَا كُلُّ مَا أَهَمَّنَا Allah will suffice us concerning everything which worries us. Allah will suffice us against any worry, any stress which we may have. وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ الْمُفَوَّضِ إِلَيْهُ تَدْبِيرُ عِبَادِهِ وَالْقَائِمُ بِمَصَالِحِهِمْ And Allah is excellent as the wakil, as the caretaker, as the protector. Meaning He's the one who we refer to the matter of arranging the affairs of a slave and fulfilling their the benefits which they need. It's Allah Azza wa Jal who does that. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٍ. Hold on, this is the next ayah. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافون إن كنتم مؤمنين. 174-175 يا مصطفى.
So they returned with grace and bounty from Allah. No harm touched them and they followed the good pleasure of Allah, and Allah is the owner of great bounty. It is only shaitan that suggests to you in the fear of his awliya disbelievers in the oneness of Allah and His Messenger from Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So fear them not, but fear me if you are true believers.
Okay. The Shaykh said, فَانْقَلَبُوا أَيْ رَجِعُوا, meaning they returned, بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٍ. وجاء خبر المشركين أن رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه قد خرجوا إليكم وندم من تخلف منهم فألقى الله الرعب في قلوبهم واستمروا راجعين إلى مكة. So then they returned with a bounty from Allah, no harm touched them. What happened was, the news came to the mushrikeen that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions have went out seeking you. And those who had initially, I hear someone speaking in the background. Barakallahu fiqh, whoever is speaking or reciting or doing something, lend us your silence, otherwise I'm not going to know what I'm doing. وَأَسْخَدْ خَرَجُوا لَكُمْ وَنَدَبَ مَا تَخَلَّفَ مِنْهُمْ. And those who in the first, in the back of the Uhud, some of them had disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told them to remain on this particular place and they went away. So then the news came to the mushrikeen that even the believers who did that initially, they became regretful. And now they came with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah cast fear, or actually ru'b, terror, in the hearts of these disbelievers, and so they returned to Mecca. Yani Abu Sufyan and the mushrikeen wanted to return back to Medina in order to fight. On while returning, the news came to them that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba now are coming to you for you as well. And those who initially turned away now are again ready for fight. So they became scared. They got scared and then they returned to Mecca. ورجع المؤمنون بنعمة من الله وفضل حيث من عليه بالتوفيق للخروج بهذه الحالة والاتكال على ربهم. And the believers returned with a bounty from Allah and virtue, wherein Allah bestowed His favor and gave him success to go out in this condition and to truly rely upon Him. ثم إنه كتب لهم أجر غزاة تامة. Then Allah gave him the reward of a conquest, of an expedition. Even though they didn't do anything, they went out, the niyyah was there, then they returned, Allah gave them the reward of a battle, even though they didn't engage in that battle, because the mushrikeen returned. فَبِسَبَبِ إِحْسَانِهِمْ بِطَاعَةِ رَبِّهِمْ وَتَقْوَاهُمْ عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِمْ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ وَهَذَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. So because of their excellence in obedience to Allah and their fear of Allah and them avoiding disobedience, Allah gave him this great reward, and this is from the special bounty of Allah upon them. Then Allah said, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاهُ. This is only shaitan who casts fear in the heart of his allies, those who are on his side. أي إن ترهيب من رهب من المشركين وقال إنهم جمعوا لكم داع من دعاة الشيطان يخوف به أولياء الذين عدم إيمانهم أو ضعف. So the one then who is calling the believers and scaring them by telling them the kuffar have come against you, the kuffar have joined forces against you. The Shaykh said this one who is trying to cast fear into the hearts of the believers is actually a caller from the caller of shayateen. He's a caller from the callers of shaitan, who intends to cast fear and he scares the people who believe in him, the people who take him as a friend. The believers are not scared of the shaitan. The weak, those with weak iman and those who take him as an ally, they are the ones who will believe him. The believers, when they came to them, what did they say? Hasbunallah. Allah is sufficient for us. وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلَ. He is an excellent disposer of affairs. He's an excellent protector. So they put their trust in Allah. The ones who have weak iman, or the ones who befriend the shaitan, they will leave him. They will become scared. They will say, oh, let's go back home. We don't want to deal with this. We don't want to die. So on and so forth. فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So fear them not, rather fear me if you are indeed believers. أي فَلَا تَخَافُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ عفوا أولياء الشيطان فَإِنَّ نَوَاصِيهِمْ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ لَا يَتَصَرَّفُونَ إِلَّا بِقَدَرِهِ. So do not fear the mushrikeen, the allies of the devil, because all of their forelocks are in the hands of Allah. They're unable to do anything except by His decree. They're unable to do anything except by Allah's decree. No one has any control, no one has any self-control, so that they do something independent of Allah's will and decree. If Allah wills it, they will do it. If Allah doesn't will it, nothing's going to happen. بَلْ خَافُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي يَنْصُرُ أَوْلِيَاءَ الْقَائِفِينَ لَهُ الْمُسْتَجِيبِينَ لِدَعْوَتِهِ. Rather fear Allah, the one who gives victory to His allies, those who fear Him, and those who respond to His invitation. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ وُجُوبُ الْخَوْفِ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ وَأَنَّهُ مِنْ لَوَازِمِ الْإِيمَانِ. In this ayah we learn the importance and the obligation of fearing Allah alone, and that this is an element and an aspect of one's faith. Part of believing in Allah is fearing Allah Azza wa Jal alone. فَعَلَى قَدْرِ إِيمَانِ الْعَبْدِ يَكُنْ خَوْفُهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Proportional to one's belief will be his fear of Allah. The more a person believes in Allah, the more he fears Allah. The less a person believes in Allah, the less he will fear Allah. They are proportional. وَالْخَوْفُ الْمَحْمُودُ مَا حَجَزَ الْعَبْدُ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ. What is the praiseworthy fear? It's the one which will prevent someone from disobeying Allah. The true, correct and sound definition of fear of Allah is the one which will prevent us from disobeying Allah. If we fear Allah but that doesn't prevent us from disobeying Him, we really haven't feared Allah the way He deserves it. There's an element of weakness in our fear of Allah. That's why we continue to go against His will and we continue to disobey Him. وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ لَا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُا الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ لَنْ يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. مصطفى 176-177 please.
And let not those who grieve you, O Prophet, who rush with haste to disbelieve, verily not the least harm will they do to Allah. It is Allah's will to give them no provision in the hereafter. For them there is a great torment. Verily those who purchase disbelief at the price of faith, not the least harm will they do to Allah. For them there is a painful torment.
Beautiful. The Shaykh said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حريصا على الخلق مجتهدا في هدايتهم وكان يحزن إذا لم يهتدوا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was very keen on guiding by Allah's will the creation. He was very keen, very interested, very concerned that the people are guided to Islam. And he used to grieve if the people did not accept Islam. When he would give them da'wah and they would reject it, he would grieve sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال الله تعالى وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. And do not grieve over those who quickly disbelieve, who are hasty in disbelieving. مِنْ شِدَّةِ رَغْبَةٍ فِي وَحِرْصٍ عَلَيْهِ. Why? They have great desire to disbelieve. And they're keen on disbelieving. عجيب. Yani some individuals have great keenness on denying and disbelieving and belying, and they strive to attain this disbelief. إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. They will not harm Allah the least bit in anything. شَيْئًا in anything. فَاللَّهُ نَاصِرٌ دِينَهُ وَمُؤَيِّدٌ رَسُولَهُ وَمُنَفِّذَ أَمْرَهُ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ. Allah will grant victory to His religion, and He will support His messenger, and He will fulfill His command without them, even if they dislike it. فلا تبالي لهم فلا تبالي. There must be a print here, a typo. فلا تبالي بهم. It should be like that. ولا تحفل بهم. So don't even bother with them. Don't waste your time with them. Don't care about them. إنما يضرون ويسعون في ضرر أنفسهم بفوات الإيمان في الدنيا. They are only harming themselves, and they are striving to harm themselves by rejecting iman in this dunya. That doesn't mean you don't give da'wah. That means that after you give da'wah and you establish the proof and the evidence against them, and the message of Islam is delivered, and they continue to reject because they love disbelief, then do not let that stop you from continuing to give da'wah with others. Because some people become psychologically, you know, disturbed that they gave da'wah to so many people, no one accepted Islam, so they say, I don't want to give da'wah anymore. No. You continue to give da'wah, but don't be bothered over these individuals because there's no goodness in them. You've done your job. After you do the da'wah, not in the beginning. وحصول العذاب الأليم في الآخرة. And they will miss out on iman in the dunya, and they will attain the severe punishment in the life to come. من هوانهم على الله وسقوطهم من عينه. Why? Because they are so worthless in the sight of Allah. They are so worthless in the sight of Allah that Allah doesn't care concerning these individuals. وإرادته أن لا يجعل لهم مصيبا في الآخرة من ثواب. And Allah intends that they have no reward in the life to come. Again, يا أخوان, don't misunderstand. You have to look at Islam and the teachings of Islam comprehensively. You know, the ayat are to be understood in the light of other ayat. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ said, it was commanded many times, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك, call to the way of your Lord. He was commanded in many, فَلِذَلِكَ فَدْعُ وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتُ, that and invite and remain upright as you were commanded. So da'wah is an obligation. Here we're speaking about individuals that Allah Azza wa Jal knows that there is no goodness in them. Allah would not do this to someone until they make that choice themselves. Yani Allah would not seal someone's heart and prevent them from acquiring guidance until they choose to reject guidance. This is never the initial stage, because Allah Azza wa Jal does not oppress anyone, right or wrong. This is something you have to have yaqeen, certainty in. Allah does not oppress anyone, not even a hair strand. Nothing. No one is a disbeliever and dies in the state of disbelief after receiving the message of Islam, except someone whom Allah Azza wa Jal gave many opportunities to accept guidance and they rejected them over and over again. Then Allah will cause them to become in the state of blindness where they don't see the truth anymore. And if they were to change that which is within them and seek Allah's guidance, then Allah will guide them again. But these are individuals who themselves don't want guidance. There's nothing you can do for them. Otherwise, everyone is given a chance. Everyone is given a chance. How do you react? What was your initial reaction? This is what determines what happens afterwards. You see what I'm saying? So for example, someone takes... you work at a supermarket for whatever reason, and you're the cashier and you're counting the money. You know, sometimes when you work as a cashier, somebody gives you 100 riyals and you don't have in the register, you don't have you don't have sarf change, there you go. So you get it where? From your pocket, right? You get it from your pocket. Now what happens? Sometimes you get mixed up. How much should I take? How much do I need to put back? Whatever. Anyways, you go after you finish your shift and you took some from your pocket, some from here, you were exchanging money back and forth, and you know you want to work with 200 riyals. And you went back home with 400 riyals. Which means that you took something by mistake. Now, this is the test now. Once you recognize that, what are you supposed to do? Return the money. This is your chance. You have a mind. You have consciousness. Allah gave you all the qualities in your natural fitrah, natural innate disposition to recognize that this is haram. Your boss is nice to you. He doesn't have any issues. You know, you're getting paid on time. You know, even otherwise. But let's say we're trying to make it the perfect scenario. Because this is the bounty of Allah. Everyone is in a perfect situation. Everything you want is given. If you were to steal this money deliberately, after knowing that, then you get caught, you have no one to blame but yourself. And you can speak to yourself, say, I knew it. I should have put the money back. I chose to keep the money. Then on the day when this person is going to prison, he cannot say, no, my God, it's not my fault. No, none of that will be accepted. So at the time of test, now this is one person. The other kind of person is the one who quickly recognizes haram money, and as soon as he goes back to work the next day, he puts the 200 riyals back in the cash register. This is the condition of the human being when belief is presented. And they have the time to think and reflect. Do I steal or do I return? The kafir, when iman is presented, he looks at the situation, he realizes this is the truth from Allah. But he likes the dunya, he likes the fame, he likes whatever, and this is going to conflict with his iman. If he knows if he becomes a Muslim, he won't be able to enjoy these things, he will reject Islam. And then he cannot blame anyone because he was given the chance. And the person who says, okay, this is from Allah, I need to be guided, and they take the initiative, Allah Azza wa Jalla will guide them to Islam. That's really what it boils down to. طيب, where was I? A. وحصول على من هوانهم على الله نعم خذلهم فلم يوفقهم لما وفق إليه أولياء. So Allah will disgrace them and disappoint them by not allowing them to attain the success which He had granted to His allies, those who believe in Him, His friends. ومن أراد به خيرا عدلا منه وحكمة. And whoever Allah intends goodness for, it is justice from Allah and based on His wisdom. لعلمه بأنهم غير زاكين على الهدى ولا قابلين للرشاد لفساد أخلاقهم وسوء قصدهم. Otherwise, those whom Allah Azza wa Jal does not guide, it's because Allah knows that they are not pure and they are not ready for guidance, nor will they accept it because of the corruption of their character and the evil intents which they have. And I think this is sufficient for today. We have stopped at ayah 177. Oh, did you read 177? You read, let's finish it then. ثم أخبر أن الذين اختاروا الكفر على الإيمان ورغبوا فيه رغبة من بذل ما يحب من المال في شراء ما يحب من السلع لن يضر الله شيئا. Then Allah informed us that those who chose disbelief over iman, and look how Allah described them. And they desired it, the desire of someone who is purchasing with money the product which he loves the most. Yani the way Allah Azza wa Jalla described them, that they bought, اشتروا الكفر بالإيمان. They bought, purchased. Yani the level of in interest in this belief, you know when there's something that you really want to buy? You know that feeling when there's a car that you've been wanting to buy that you finally have the money for, or if you play sports, usually it's basketball shoes, right? Or if it's a child, it's a toy or a phone that you've been wanting to get. How do you feel when you go to the market, you know, go to the shop and you're all excited, you just want to pay the money, give me my thing. You see that desire, that burning desire? The kuffar, Allah described them that their desire and disbelief is like someone who's purchasing the most beloved of products. Yani they're dying to disbelieve. They have a burning desire to disbelieve, subhanAllah. Look at the evil and corruption of these individuals. They will not harm Allah in anything. بَلْ ضَرَرُوا فِعْلِهِمْ يَعُودُ عَلَى أَنفِسِهِمْ. Nay, the harm of their actions will fire back at them. It will fire back at them, or it will backfire at them. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And they shall have a painful torment. وَكَيْفَ يَضُرُّونَ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. How will they ever harm Allah? وَهُمْ قَدْ زَعَدُوا أَشَدَّ الزُّهْدِ فِي الْإِيمَانِ وَرَغِبُوا كُلَّ الرَّغْبَ بِالْكُفْرِ. While they were totally careless about Iman and they had full desire and disbelief in Rahman. فَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ عَنْهُمْ. Allah is self sufficient and is in no need of them. وَقَدْ قَيَّضَ لِدِينِهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْأَبْرَارَ الْأَسْكِيَاءِ سِوَاهُمْ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ مِمَّنْ اِرْتَضَاهُ لِنُصْرَتِهِ أَهْلَ الْبَصَائِرِ وَالْعُقُولِ. And Allah Azza wa Jal had delegated for His religion slaves who are righteous and pure, and Allah Azza wa Jal had prepared for them that which is pleasing to Him. So, and it's specifically a group of them which will give victory to His religion, the people of sight and understanding. وَذَوِ الْأَلْبَابِ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ فَعُولَ. And the most intelligent of men, of brave men. قال الله تعالى قل آمنوا به أو لا تؤمنوا إن الذين أوتوا العلم من قبله إذا يتلى عليهم يخرون للأذقان سجدا. Allah says in the end of Surah Al-Isra, say believe in him or believe not. Verily those who were given the knowledge before, when the ayat of Allah, when the ayat are recited upon them, they fall on their faces in prostration. On Afghan, on their chins. Those who were given the knowledge before, like the Jews and the Christians, those who became Muslims among them, when they heard the Quran recited upon them, they knew this was from Allah. Like An-Najashi, the Abyssinian ruler at that time, in the first hijrah of the Muslims, he became a Muslim when they recited upon him Surah Maryam. He was a Christian. They recited Surah Maryam, he said, this is from Allah. He cried, he became a Muslim. So that's how Allah described the true believers. The disbelievers, they hear the Quran and it doesn't affect them in any way, shape or form. This time really, we will stop now. 178 inshallah is what we will address next week. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.